Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in a Reaction Monday and a Victory Monday for your Houston Texans as they go into Arrowhead and win 20-10 in a defensive battle and a battle that saw C.J. Stroud come out and make some big-time plays when it was needed. We'll get to his grade coming up here a little bit later on in the show. But we want to open up this time for you, 713-572-4610. You can call in, get in right now. Tyler will have the phone lines open for you. Your Texans are 8-5. They are currently in the seventh spot in the playoffs, but one game behind Jacksonville for the division in the AFC South, and as we said, they're currently the seventh spot as they go past the Colts, and they're in the playoffs as we speak right now with a game against the Cardinals at home coming up. I want to know from you all, because I see some people texting in, and I'm curious from you too, Clint, when you watched that game and how that thing went through, did you feel like the Texans went in there and won that game, or did you feel like the Chiefs lost that game?
Oh, no. I feel like the Texans went in there and won that game. With this defense, the way that they you know, impose their will on folks, that is definitely the Texans going in and winning. It's hard to watch the Texans when they make super conservative decisions and win with defense on a fourth down stop, win by a single, you know, the single score, all that kind of stuff. That's hard enough to watch. But then when you watch them and it's completely, just unacceptable what's going on the offensive side of the football in the second half, that is definitely tough to stomach, but it's still the Texans imposing their will on folks, and which I think forced a Hall of Fame coach into making a piss poor decision. So I got to roll with the Texans won this thing, and not that the Chiefs lost it.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs definitely made mistakes. There were drops in there. I think to me the real egregious thing was the Andy Reid decision.
Agreed.
But a lot of the problems they had was forced by the Texans. Right.
Yep.
Right, like Mahomes' interceptions. If you take them, like the first one that was on him, he threw the ball into a window that was not there, and it got tipped. And when you get the ball tipped, you know as a quarterback, Clint, that ball gets tipped. You get yourself in a situation where you can get picked off when you got all those defenders back there. The second one was just bad. He just underthrew Hollywood Brown and probably had another receiver shorter for a first down in front of it. And then the last one, I'll be honest, he threw it a little bit behind Kelce. Kelce had two hands on it. He'll tell you should have brought it in, but tipped it up in the air like those. But there are three guys around them. They're making plays. They dislodged the ball with Petrie multiple times. I think they were a big cause of why they lost the game. I think there were some situations. I do think in the second half, Andy Reid helped the Texans who looked like they were asleep offensively and maybe just didn't have answers until I think the Chiefs probably got sucked down from the decisions and sucked down. Sucked. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sucked down the whole stadium. It was sucked down of. I think the major reason why the Chiefs made mistakes was because of the Houston Texans. All right, let's get to our guy, Dom. Dom is in the building. Go ahead and kick this thing off, Dom. What do you think? You think the Texans took that game, or you think it was more that the Chiefs lost it?
Let's go, boys. The Texans absolutely took that game. We walked into that dump. The Arrowhead hit him right in the mouth. Dom from Jersey's live on the drive. That defense was swarming, show. It was the goddamn Bulls on parade. Seven was special. He wasn't perfect. He missed some throws, but he made some big plays. 12 was special. Shout out to Woody Marks, man. He was a workhorse. And shout out to Kamari Lassiter. Absolute dog. Believe it or not, there was a coach out there that was worse than Nick Taley. His name is Andy Reid. To go for it on 4th and 1 on your own end of the field was insane. And then on top of it, you avoid him all game and you're going to throw at the best cornerback in the NFL, Derek Stingley. How dare you insult me like that by going at 24 like that? I hope you learned your lesson last night. The Houston Texans want all the smoke. Dom from Jersey wants all the smoke. Whoever, whenever, bring it, baby. Let's go, Texans.
All right, love the call, Dom. Stop cussing, Dom.
Yeah, if you weren't so good, you'd have got hung up on right there,
Dom. I'm telling you, man. I'm trying to give you some feeling. 713-572-4610. No, listen. Yep, I think I agree with you. I think at least for that decision. That decision was the worst thing in the game. But Nick Cayley's was repeated. I don't think it ever got fixed. Even on the drive they scored a touchdown, it took C.J. Stroud throwing on the cape and being a hero. You're right. You got to take one of them away, right? You got to either just flat double team Chris Jones and not allow him to get there, or you got to have Andrews to do something with the blitz.
Yeah.
He was allowing both of it to happen. Single time.
They do a really nice job with Chris Jones in a sense of, I watched him whoop Andrew's ass, then he bumped over and whooped Ingram's ass, and then he bumped outside and wanted some of Trent Brown. That was three consecutive plays. But when it comes to doubling him, we've talked about this before. I literally was like, thank you, Chris Jones, for going outside. I invite Chris Jones. Anybody that wants to go out to the edge and instead of be that force on the inside, I invite you to go outside. You actually do me a favor when you do that. But the point is he makes it really difficult to zero in on him because he moves around so much. So how do you plan on helping inside with a back? Do you plan on helping outside with a tight end? Do you need to help your tackles versus your guard center? There's a lot that goes into that. So that part, the Chris Jones dynamic part of it is, you could be as prepared as you want to. The way they move Chris Jones around and the caliber player he is, when he wants to turn it on, you ain't stopping him. It don't matter. You can dedicate a double team to him every time if he's on the inside.
Not that bad.
Batting passes. Harassing.
He just can't go at that point. He can't go one on one with Andrew. That can't happen.
I agree with that.
He just left. That can't be one on one with Andrew. Cannot.
And Ingram
be.
The next snap.
And then Ed, it was rough. Yeah, Ed was. I think Titus may be the only one I don't remember him just destroying because he sure got Ursary too. He came around the corner on Ursary's ass. All right, 713-572-4610. Get in as the Texans are 8-5 right now in the playoffs. Corey, did you feel like the Texans won that game, took that game, or did you think the Chiefs more lost it?
Texans went in there and won that game.
There you go.
December, right? It's December. Their season's on the line. We're trying to get a wild card spot. We're in freaking Arrowhead Stadium, only game on TV. And we went in there and our defense showed up and they swarmed. Number seven made some fantastic throws, even though you missed some. That 3rd and 16, that was a big boy throw, dude. CJ stood in the pocket, took the lick, and threw a dart to Higgins. And then our defense, we made Travis Kelce fumble. We made Travis Kelce fumble. And we got the interception, and then we had a lot of hits. When Rice got hit, I didn't even think he was going to get up. Our defense was hitting all night, and I was proud to be a Texan. And I also want to say, Shaw, I didn't forget that you predicted the Chiefs to win 23-13 on Sunday. That was wrong. Go Texans, here we go, Bulls on parade, and we'll be out.
That I was incredibly wrong. I'll be honest. I did not think the Texans were ready to go in there and win that game. Did not think they were. They were certainly ready, especially defensively, to go and make plays. They made plays. They made plays, and the Chiefs didn't. And I mean, repeatedly. Plays that were there. We talked about all those throws that CJ made rolling out. Higgins caught the ball. Rashee Rice didn't catch the ball. Noah Gray couldn't catch the ball. Kelce had another drop in there. Didn't catch the ball, right? They had 8 drops in that game. They made plays. They made plays offensively, defensively in a way that the Chiefs didn't. Someone texted in, come on, guys. The Chiefs lost that game. There is no way any of you all thought the Texans were winning that game until Andy Reid went for it. I ain't going to say that. I certainly thought at 10-10 the Chiefs' offense was moving it better than the Texans' offense was. But, I mean, You could see a turnover happening either side. So I felt like it was even. I would say the Chiefs had momentum, but I'm not going to sit there and say that I thought for sure they were going to. If they ever got up, they ever got a score, right? Like if they were up leading and then Andy would probably play it conservative. Yeah, then maybe. But no, at 10-10, I didn't think.
Look, our offense was completely overwhelmed. They were going absolutely nowhere. They clearly, Kansas City had the momentum. You know, clearly you're watching that game, and if you had to bet the game at 10-10, the way our offense was playing, nobody in their right mind was betting the Texans in that moment. You look at it, our defense was having a hell of a night, obviously, against Pat Mahomes. But if you're in that third quarter, beyond halftime, their defense was overwhelming our offense. Their offense was actually, they weren't having a ton of success, but they weren't overwhelmed by what the Texans were doing. As you mentioned, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, were kept at bay, relatively speaking.
Yeah, they scored. They scored their first two drives.
Yeah, right? It looked like the scheme, the game plan that Andy had. You know, moving the pocket and then accompanied with coupled with Pat's ability to manipulate the pass rush. I mean, they had some decent answers to give him some chances. It was going to be a long day against our defense, any way you slice it. But they had a decent plan. If I'm like Andy Reid and Pat, I think they let a good chunk of the game go by without getting Rashee Rice involved in the game more than they already had. I thought that was pretty interesting because it was working. The quick stuff, you know, the quick swing screens and stuff they were doing with him was working early on. And so not getting him involved was interesting a little bit more. But really, their plan was...
Teams really like to try to take shots on the Texans.
Yeah, because they're there. You watch the film, they're there.
Even with their alignment issues, they were that seemed to be a lot of the game plan.
Yep.
Well, and they were there, but yeah.
The thing is what we're going to watch a film, and I know I already saw it on the TV copy one time, and this is what opponents do, right? Josh, especially opponents like Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, what they do is they go to the sideline after getting sacked or having to go 3 and out and, you know, not converting to 3rd and 14 or something. You go to the sideline, and somebody hands you them little printouts, or you look, I guess nowadays you look at your iPad, right?
Yeah.
And you look at your iPad, and you go, gosh dang, man, if I just had another split second, man, look at number one running down the sideline all by himself. Man, look at Hollywood running across the field all by himself for a 40-yard gain. Gosh dang, if I just had a split more. So you go back out there, and you're like, I'm gonna figure out a way to get in a split second because I know I got guys open down there. Next thing you know, you're in 3rd and 14 again. That's what gets those kind of guys. Those kind of guys, Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, there's just some of the same things we've talked about C.J. Stroud doing, and it just like the desire to go make those big plays because you can and you have for a big chunk of your career takes you out of sorts. And that offense is a tough way to play offense against this defense.
All right, Southside Al, let's get you on here. Southside Al, go ahead, man. Do you think the Texans took that game or the Chiefs lost it?
Well, you know this run, and what's up, Clint? Shout out to Tyler. You know, the Texans won the game. That's what they did. I'm going to come at this with a different angle, Ron. I think Buffalo tried to do the same thing when we played them. You go back and look at the tape. They went for it on fourth on their side of the field. Unfortunately, they got it. But what I'll say is about this is Andy Reid. I shout out to y'all's show, man. Ain't nobody said enough, man. Y'all call the truth, man, and great show, man. I give y'all a tip my hat. Because Chris Collinsworth, we had the ball in the fourth quarter, run with a minute or something left. He said it was saying the game ain't over and we in field goal range. This is what happens in life, Clint. Sometimes people can have so much expectations on you, what they do with Patrick Mahomes. They think still that he was going to be able to pull that out and he was going down by 10. He wouldn't give up then. If Wale get the ball at the 5, Chris Collinsworth said he probably haven't took a snap in the offense practice, and the man going slow, then he shut up. Man, I'm so sick of these commentators, man. But this is what I say, Ron, and I hang up and listen. What happens is nobody talking about this, Clinton. I told you last night. Ron, it really wasn't 20 points. It could have been easily 27 because the first drive, we put 7 on the board. But we had to take it off because the offensive line created a penalty. Bad setup on the line, and they called the 7 back from Schultz. Schultz can't call a good call. Schultz crossed the middle for 6, but we had a penalty, so they erased that. So what I say is this here, man. It's a lot can be pointed to the game, but you have to realize one thing, Clint. Check this out. Kansas City was down 10-0 after 2 halves of a football game. That's uncharted territory from them. They had 0 at the half, and they caught themselves trying to hustle back and get a win. That's not happening with the Texas 2025 defense. You can't do that. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, you can't win like that. So start it from the top. And I hang up and get y'all take.
Appreciate the call. Listen, man. As I said before, someone texted in, shows making excuses. The Texans only lost the third quarter. I've come out and said I think the better team won the game. They were the better team. I think the only advantage there that the Chiefs had was Spags and Chris Jones, and that almost spun the thing around. But no, the Texans made plays throughout the game in a way that the Chiefs didn't, and they deserved to win the game and should have won the game. And they were the better team. Now, doesn't mean they don't have some stuff they definitely need to work on.
Yep.
And a lot of teams aren't going to give you what the Chiefs gave you or allow you off the hook on what the Chiefs allowed you off the hook on to only complete 3 passes in the second half of a game on the road. Mm-hmm. Right? You got to be able to do better with that. All right, coming up, let's do CJ Stroud's grade, 713-572-4610. Text in what you think CJ Stroud's grade was. 15 of 31, 203 yards, 1 touchdown, no turnovers. 2 rushes, 5 yards, quarterback rating just over 80. What was CJ Stroud's grade? We'll do that.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I'm going to protect my boy Dirty, I'm going to protect my boy Ron, and I'm going to protect my boy T.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Reaction Monday, and we are reacting to a fifth straight victory, huge win on the road at Arrowhead, and... Big W for the Houston Texans as they are now in the playoffs. Let's look at C.J. Stroud. We do this after each game. What was C.J. Stroud grade as we're looking, and I'm seeing a lot of people send some things in. Text line coming in B+ or A. He's got to be that field general that can overcome the OC. B-. He was missing some throws that he would have made his rookie season. D, let's call a spade. CJ has insane ability talent-wise. Mills is a distant second, but Mills would not be able to make that 3rd-and-17 throw. So CJ can do things he can't do. C+, he was not accurate, and that's his strength. Maybe B- because no interceptions. Clint, for you, what was your grade for you?
It was a B- for me, Ron, and here's why. You know, look, I think the first half, and I'm going to talk about this at 4:00. The first half was vintage CJ from 2023 is what we're looking for, and did some really good things. But when you look at kind of what knocked him down for me is, I don't care who the quarterback is, I don't care what system you're in. When you can't handle situational football, when your offense can't, that's a quarterback problem as well. Now, I think it's the OC. I think the lack of preparation is embarrassing, but there's a level of man, you're expected to be a big-time quarterback. You got to take this bull by the horns. Look at that second half. I can't give anybody even remotely close to an A that has three completions in the second half. Again, a lot of it's not on him, but it is what it is. It would have been a C, but he made some big-time throws in critical moments of this game to give us a chance. And so I went with a B- based off the TV copy of this game right here. I went B-.
Yeah, I think it's B- C range to me. Just because now that we know, Clint, and I agree with you, I think the OC's got to help. But now that we know, Clint, that he does have – some power in terms of determining calls right there at the line of scrimmage. I mean, you would think he would put himself in the line as well as Nick Caley in better positions. Because there were times they're walking right up there. I don't know if they're shifting, sliding the protection one way, whatever it was, people are just coming through easy. And to me, when we know that he has the ability to have some semblance of control on the protections, especially in that 3rd and 4th quarter, I do think some of that has to fall at his feet as well. This is different from maybe years past. So I'll go B minus because he just made some plays, and he outdid in Patrick Mahomes. He outplayed Patrick Mahomes in this game on the road in a game that Patrick Mahomes had to have. So I'll give him a B minus, but the protection calls, some of that's got to fall with him.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, when you're the quarterback and your offense, including you, looks overwhelmed for, you know, a quarter plus, when situational football, like when you come out of a timeout and you have to take another timeout to keep getting delay game, when you have so many, like I don't know the details behind all of these alignment issues that the Texans are having, but it seemed to be less of an issue with Davis Mills. And so that leads you to believe that there's more importantly, D'Amico Ryans constantly talks about getting out of the huddle as a problem, right? And so I got to believe that there's some level of the operation of CJ in the huddle, getting everything's communicated and getting the huddle broke on time is delaying this offense to a certain degree. Now, again, to me, we're at a point in the season where the coach ought to say, hey, man, if that's a problem, hell with it, man. Get on a line of scrimmage and let's ride. You know, let's sugar huddle. Let's not huddle this thing all the way up. Let's figure out a way to get beyond it instead of keep beating a dead horse, right? But needless to say, as we're grading the quarterback, some of this has to fall at the feet of the quarterback. And
because that was the biggest issue with the offense was they just couldn't get protection enough to give themselves a chance.
It's just back to the same old. I'm surprised we haven't heard the technique and mechanics stuff on the offensive line stuff. You know, it's the lack of communication. It's not breaking the huddle quick enough and getting the line of scrimmage so everybody can see what's going on and get their call, their assignment communicated. It's the same issues that we've been hearing for 2 years now with this. Now, I think you guys, a coach's job to realize what a guy can and can't do. What is his limitations? And if this is a CJ Stroud limitation thing, then figure it out as a coach to eliminate that from a problem and put the kid in position to do what he does in a special way, and that's going to make plays, right? It's just hard for me to believe, man, that it's just we're 2 years into this thing and we're still talking about communication and breaking the huddle. It's just wild. It seems like, and I don't study other teams, but it seems like other teams that have franchise quarterbacks that are established or guys that are coming like CJ Stroud, it seems like they're so much further along when it comes to this kind of stuff. Right? I mean, during that whole chaotic situation yesterday where CJ Stroud snapping the football with not knowing where the pressure's coming, why did he never call a timeout? As a quarterback of that situation, you're the guy on the field and you are put in a position where you're like, I have no idea how we're going to pick this up. Timeout, man. We got to talk about this.
Or what was happening when the drives ended.
Yes. Yeah, the whole thing. Like it's not,
when you had extended time over there.
It's an interesting dynamic. And in a segment where we're grading C.J. Stroud, I don't think all of that should be laid at his feet, but I do think obviously there's some responsibility of it there. In that rough third quarter and really the rough second half, so I can't go any higher than a B minus.
Our guy Joe, the old A&M Aggie, I see you. He gave him a D. Still looks clueless and lost more often than he should after 3 years. I don't agree with that at all, Joe. You know I love you. I still think he made some plays and some throws that they would have lost the game had he not made the plays.
Oh, there ain't no doubt about that.
The first touchdown, both touchdowns that the Texans scored last night, C.J. Stroud made plays that Davis Mills wouldn't even attempt to make. I don't even know if anybody else in the division could make the throw. The first touchdown they had, he's going to the sideline and he goes crossbody to the middle of the field to Nico Collins. That leads into a big play that sets them. That's the big play that sets him up for the touchdown. And then when Andy Reid does make the bonehead decision and mistake, it's a third down and he is pressured immediately by Jones and runs out and hits Higgins for a big first down that they don't score a touchdown if he doesn't make that play. right? I think there's a real argument. You think Davis Mills, if that's who was in the game, would get sacked by Jones on that play, and he was able to. So he made plays that I believe they would have lost the game had he not made them. But as you said, man, you complete three balls in the second half, and your offense is just struggling. And we know that you're supposed to have the ability to make some decisions with the protection, and that was just never getting better, and really never did. I think you get dinged a little bit there. So I'd say B minus there for CJ. All right, you can text yours in. We'll do our weekend's best, weekend's worst. I think a lot to pick from this weekend. We'll do that.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
We are going to talk about the college football playoff a little bit later on as it has been unveiled. There's some good conversation there. I will just say this.
Take my ball and go home.
You going to take it and go home? Yeah, we'll talk about that. I like even more, and I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't hate A&M. I don't love A&M. Don't hate Texas. Don't love Texas. Watching what happened with Ohio State in Indiana, I am floored still now. This is going under the radar a bit. But the disrespect that Texas A&M got in the entire process when it comes to the rankings over the last 2 weeks. Ohio State lost to Indiana, and they dropped one spot in a neutral site. They lose to Texas on the road in a true road game, rivalry game, and they drop down to seven. They should at the very least. Who is Ole Miss get? Do they get Tulane? Yes. They get Tulane, and you get who?
Miami.
We get Miami at Kyle.
I know that'll be a fun game. But, I mean, to think that they dropped A&M that far after being 11-0, and then Ohio State just dropped the spot. Like, I always thought last week that was an untold, like, damn, they dropped hard. And, they should be behind Ole Miss, but whatever. But I agree wholeheartedly. They got Miami. I just could not believe they dropped A&M. Like, it is wild. What happened to A&M? They're 11-0 and just rolling through. impressive wins. And they went from 11-0 to not playing in the SEC championship game to being the seventh seed and having to play Miami instead of
Tulane.
You know, Tulane, which Ole Miss, that was, anyway. I it was a minor thing, not what Notre Dame is crying about, but I thought that was an odd thing. All right, weekend's best, weekend's worst. I'll start with my weekend. I'm gonna go worst. I'll start my weekend's worst. Kevin Stefanski. What was that? My man pulls Shedeur Sanders, who, hey, listen, he made a critical mistake on a bad pick, but he is what I think threw three touchdowns, ran one in, or threw two touchdowns, or ran one in. No, it's three.
Threw three, ran.
Yeah,
one.
That's right. Threw the last
total
one.
Total touchdown, 370 yards. Man,
yeah, here we go. Down two, 2-point conversion. Right, in previous drive, he had run one in when the play broke down for about 10 yards out. Here we go. Hey, Shedeur, won't you come off the field here? Let's run this wildcat that we've been doing all the time. And then try to do a reverse. Mind you, the person he tried to do the reverse with is somebody that hadn't really practiced it because their other player was injured with a concussion. So this was somebody else that wasn't really the person they had practiced this play with. And they take Shedeur off the bench and they end up losing to the Titans. And just the worst. And that whole handling of the situation. And listen, I'm sure Kevin Stefanski is a good guy, but there continues to just be coincidences that make it seem like, what in the hell is going on around there? Like, it is hard for me to be convinced, like, man, he's 100% about the best interest of the team and the players.
Well, the one good thing, Ron, is, I mean, he's been consistent. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they've all been bad since he's been there. I mean, how many quarterbacks have they been through, you know?
Yeah.
And what a day. I didn't watch the game, but what a day for that defense that typically, or at least has the ability to wreck shop, to not wreck shop. Quarterback scores four touchdowns and throws 370, and you can't win behind that. Yeah, that's wild, man.
Yeah, but for him to not at least be on the field for the 2-point conversion was just wild.
Oh, I mean,
for me,
man, I hate the thought of taking my quarterback off the field in critical situations. I absolutely hate it. I got a guy out there that I believe in leading my team. This is my guy. This is the face. This is my leader, the voice of my squad. Games on the line.
He just threw a dot.
Games on the line. I'm still on the sideline, man. I got something creative I want to get out.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to go right now to go get it. So that's my weekend's worst. What's your weekend's worst?
Well, my weekend's worst has to do with what you mentioned a little earlier, college football playoffs. And actually, the more specifically, it has to do with conference championships. Unfortunately, I think conference championships are going to be a thing of the past. And I think it's unfortunate. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I don't know the right way to handle conference championships. But I know playing for an SEC title, playing for a Big 12 championship, playing for a Big 10 championship, I know that should mean something. And the fact that the College Football Playoff Committee, just can't figure out a way to either make those games mean something, make everybody else play one game like Vanderbilt has been petitioning to, so everybody plays the same number of games and you evaluate them just like you do anything else. Or they just don't mean anything, and the final standings the week before the college football playoffs are what they are. But boy, the college football playoffs was bad this weekend with JMU and Tulane getting in. But boy, the conference championships I think are the big loser here, Ron. I mean, I think there's a real chance that we see these guys do away with conference championships.
It was definitely going to be one if Alabama didn't get in.
Yep.
If Alabama didn't get in and got punished for playing another game, that definitely would have been.
Well, you got what's going on with Notre Dame.
Well, it's not just the conference championships, but it's also how they determine who gets there. Like, Duke should have never
been in that game. Right, correct.
And I think Notre Dame would have gotten in if Miami was in that game and they were the champion.
Well, that's it's easier to say, you know, no more championship games than it is to figure out what to do with Notre Dame, who's not in a conference, and there is no conference championship game, right? Who, by the way, I don't know if y'all saw it, but I believe they signed a contract with the with the College Football Playoff Committee that if they're in the Final 12, they're automatically in. They get an automatic bid.
Yeah, that's it.
That's odd, isn't it? It's a bit odd in my opinion. But I don't know all the details, so I'll wait to get to flush it out. But conference championships, man, I just think Texas Tech blows the doors off of BYU. Georgia blows the doors start to finish off of Alabama. You know, you look up the Ohio State Indiana game was a tremendous game. Indiana they've got the horses, I think, to compete. Whereas last year I don't think they had the horses. This year they do. So I think we've seen the last of conference championships.
Yeah. All right, weekend's best. I'm gonna change mine because you just brought that up. LeBron was sensational last night, so I'll change mine from LeBron. I mean, just down the stretch, big shots. Back at it, 29 points last night. But you talked about the conference champions. I do want to give a shout out to Indiana. Mm-hmm. Kurt Cinzetti, that is the. I used to think Bill Snyder was the best coaching job, how he resurrected K-State.
Mm-hmm.
What he's done this fast, I don't care about how the transfer portal. There's still some Indiana getting guys in before. He got a lot of those James Madison kids that are there. And they are the number one seed, Big Ten champions. Tyler, when were you born? What's your date of birth?
1990.
They hadn't beat Ohio State since 88. Tyler just turned 35. They hadn't beat Ohio State since 1988. And they play often. They play every year up in the Big Ten. So that turnaround is, I heard Urban Meyer say it, the best turnaround in the history of college football. And it is insane what he's been able to do. And they've had multiple quarterbacks.
Via Scott Van Pelt. Indiana had the all-time lowest winning percentage in college football history when Kurt Cignetti arrived. When he got on the mic at Assembly Hall and started saying everyone in the Big Ten sucked, I thought they hired a crazy man. This is crazy. Incredible turnaround. Salute Hoosiers.
Yep.
I mean, that's...
Now they have the second.
From literally the worst to...
Second worst now.
Now they got the second
since
worst.
In his 2 years. Yeah. That's insane. All right, your weekend.
I'm going to go my weekend's best. I'm going to go with Texas Tech linebacker Jacob Rodriguez. I don't know if y'all saw this, but on College Game Day, one thing that Pat McAfee has done is he ain't afraid to give away several hundred thousand dollars on one episode of College Game Day. They're interviewing Texas Tech linebacker Jacob Rodriguez on the field during warm-ups, his own warm-ups it is, and he's got the earpiece in, and Pat McAfee says, hey, man, if you can hit the uprights, I'll give you $250,000 to donate to a military foundation of your choice. And he just cool, calm, collected. Said, oh, yeah, I'm cool with that. Where you want me to throw it from? He said, how about the 20? And he center punches that damn crossbar from the 20-yard line. If you hadn't followed, this is a great story. Texas Tech is a great story overall, especially if you're a Texan. But this story of this linebacker, Jacob Rodriguez, is a really cool story. His wife apparently is a Black Hawk helicopter pilot in the military. And, you know, she gets a chance to come to every game. You know, he goes over, hugs and kisses her, yada, yada, yada. So that's kind of the tie of the military foundation that he's donating to. But for a linebacker to just go, hey, yeah, man, cool, I'm good with it. And then he bangs it off the upright and goes over there and celebrates with his guys. Hell, I think you ought to draft the guy right now. Linebacker can throw it off the upright, cool, calm, and collected the whole time for 250 stacks.
He caught us off guard because during game day, he was talking. He made a mistake in his words, but he said, "Yeah, me and my wife, we've been married 10 years." I said 10 years, man. You're like 22 years old. He meant to say 10 months.
Oh, 10 months.
He said 10 years like multiple times. I said, there ain't no way. Yeah. All right, what you got coming up?
All right, this win versus the Chiefs was absolutely a monster win for the Texans on several fronts. We'll tell you exactly what and how and where the Texans sit right now. What do we need the rest of the way to win this division? And C.J. Stroud, if there is a silver lining in this win, when it ended so bad in the second half, the C.J. Stroud we saw in the first half is what the hell I've been waiting on. I'll explain next right here on Sports Radio 610.